Women Talk Biz with Vicky DeArmond and Michelle Marquess on KSRO.
And welcome to Women Talk Biz here on KSRO. I'm Michelle Marquess and Vicky DeArmond is here with me. We're going to talk about the Women Talk Biz annual confab coming up on Thursday, April 25th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Grayton Casino Ballroom. And Vicky, this is an event for anyone who is an entrepreneur. Yes?
It is. Anybody who has that entrepreneurial spirit, they may have started a business or they are about to. Mm-hmm. All sizes of businesses. We're having one-woman shops. We're having multi-million-dollar business owners there.
Sure.
And it's pretty exciting because we're all going to mix and we're going to share all of our wisdom. And we have some great inspirational speakers coming. Mm-hmm. And then we have some really practical information in our roundtable sessions.
And there's so many different roundtable experts there, 32 different roundtable experts. So this is really practical stuff that you can put into work at your business immediately.
Exactly. I really feel like it's the must-attend event of the year, and not just because I'm producing it, mm-hmm. but because I've really created an event that I wanted to attend.
Right.
Right. You know, as a woman business owner, there's stuff I want to know, mm-hmm. and it helps my business every day to know it. So yeah. I put that into this event, and it's fantastic. Hey, have you picked up a copy of the North Bay Biz magazine's April issue?
I am looking at it right now. The North Bay Biz magazine, if you pick up the recent issue right now, right in the center of it, there's, what, 6, 7, 8 pages worth of great information. Women Talk Biz annual confab. It's got all the speakers. It's got information about the Small Business Development Center. Your wonderful speakers, your headline
yes.
speakers are going
yep.
to be all profiled here. The Women Entrepreneur of the Year Award announcement.
I know. I'm super excited about that.
So much great stuff.
Yeah. So if you want to just peruse it, you can go to the website, womentalkbiz.net, mm-hmm. or you can pick up a copy of North Bay Biz Magazine, and you'll have 8 pages of our program right in front of you.
Excellent. Is mm-hmm. our first guest going to be part of the Women Talk
yeah,
Biz
Yeah, she's
confab?
One of our roundtables. This is one of our more popular ones.
Nice. All right. Let's welcome Sandra Clark. Sandra, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Sandra.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, Sandra is from LinkedIn Mentoring. That's her company, and she offers coaching services and workshops to help professionals and business owners build their online brand. And we had a little opportunity to talk yesterday. I told her this is the one that I would definitely be sitting at this table if uh-huh. I wasn't running this event. Sandra, let's talk a little bit about LinkedIn as a medium for business owners. Why is it so dynamic? What can it offer us?
It offers so much, I think, particularly for women business owners and entrepreneurs, because we tend to be people-based. We like making friends. We like getting to know people. And so LinkedIn is perfect for that because it's a business social media, but it's absolutely about, you know, you go and you meet someone, you get a business card. What do you do with that? Do you start trying to sell them right away? Well, no, that's too pushy. But to connect with them on LinkedIn, to start a conversation. Conversations lead to relationships, and relationships might lead to business. So I think it's perfect for women entrepreneurs.
In terms of all the social media platforms, LinkedIn seems to me to be the biggest mountain and the one I know least about. You know, there's protocols for Facebook that I'm very familiar with. What are some of them for LinkedIn?
Well, it is a professional networking site. So there are things that you might put on Facebook that would not be appropriate for LinkedIn. But on the other hand, it is social. So sometimes people will see, like, there are notifications for birthdays or new jobs or anniversaries. You might think, well, I don't want to do that on LinkedIn. You know, that's too Facebooky. But it's about people, touching base with people, making them think of you. That's all about growing the relationship. So it's fine to do that. The kinds of things that you post might or might not be a little bit different, and you absolutely need to engage in conversations on LinkedIn. If you just push stuff out, I can actually tell if I go to someone's profile and they've just been pushing stuff out because there are no likes or comments at all.
Mm-hmm.
The algorithm of LinkedIn knows that that's what you're doing, and people know. They don't care. So you need to engage in conversations.
Yeah, you said that there's an algorithm that they pick up, and that engagement is what they're watching. And so that really benefits you the more engagement you have.
Absolutely. And it rewards you in so many ways. I mean, one, my name, Sandra Clark, very common. There's 1,300 or so Sandra Clarks on LinkedIn. But generally speaking, if you start typing in Sandra Clark in the search bar, I'll be one of the top six suggested Sandra Clarks, no matter where you are in the world, because the algorithm thinks, hey, if you're looking for Sandra Clark, there's a really good chance you're looking for this crazy lady because she's active on LinkedIn.
That's
so it rewards you. Plus, people see you and they want to get to know you.
So this is really something that people hire you for because they need that kind of presence on LinkedIn, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people are, you know, I specialize in what I call social media for the socially reluctant.
Yes.
The idea being, you know, we're not really terribly comfortable putting ourselves out there online, you know, promoting ourselves, talking about ourselves. And so I help people look good on LinkedIn, set up their profiles professionally, appropriately. And then I also teach them how to use LinkedIn in a way that feels comfortable and authentic to them. So that's my full-time business, and I just love it. It's the perfect thing for me. I was once a theater director, and I used to make people look good on stage, and now I make them look good on the stage of LinkedIn. And I was a teacher, and if you've ever been a teacher, once a teacher, always a teacher. I love to teach people how to do this.
Yeah, and then it moves their rating up so that they're when they're searched, they're at the top also. That's the benefit.
Absolutely. Okay. It's very hard to do that with keywords nowadays. LinkedIn's, they have many algorithms, but people try to game the system by plugging in keywords. Very hard to do that. You've got to be on LinkedIn using it, engaging in order to show up higher in searches.
You know how they have that ratio of personal to, you know, putting stuff out there on Facebook. Is that ratio the same or is it differ for LinkedIn?
You know, you can play with ratios. Is it a magic formula that will mean you'll show up more? Let's say, in general, if you're talking to someone and you're just chatting back and forth, if periodically you pop in, oh, would you come to my a Pampered Chef party or my cabbie clothing thing, you can do that occasionally. But if you're doing that all the time, you're going to turn people off. Mm. So you have to earn the privilege by just being helpful and friendly most of the time.
How does the messaging work? Because I have all these credits for messaging, and then I'm not really sure, you know, where how I earn them and how to use them.
Okay, I think you're referring to in-mails.
I am. Thank you.
And those are, if you have the LinkedIn Premium, and I'll tell you my little secret, which is I had LinkedIn Premium for 7 years because LinkedIn gave it to me for free for some work I did for them. But I used it primarily to show people why they didn't need to pay for it. So I had literally hundreds of in-mails. I never used them. There's always another, usually better way to reach people. So you can use them or not as you choose, but I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. I mean, do people feel that that's spammy if you are trying to communicate to them through in-mails?
It depends. Now, if I meet you or I've heard about you, why wouldn't I just reach out and ask to connect with you? It's like, oh, we both, you know, I met you at the Women Business Conference. Let's connect on LinkedIn. And then you start talking with them. That's once you're connected, it's all free.
Okay.
Yeah. So to send an in-mail because you're not connected.
I see. It's kind of it's more removed. Listen, I think I can't wait to see you and hear what you have to say at the Women Talk Biz Confab. And so we're going to wrap this interview and see you there. And I hope everybody will come and sit at your table.
At least come by and say hi so I can show you some new features.
I'll be there.
Okay.
Thank you, Sandra.
Nice. That is Sandra Clark. She will help you build your relationships and grow your business on LinkedIn at the Women Talk Biz Confab, which is coming up very soon. It is this month already. We're in April, April 25th, 8 to 4 p.m. at the Grayton Casino Ballroom. Get your tickets at womentalkbiz.net. We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
You're a genius at what you do, and you do it well, but no woman can know it all. The wisdom of other successful entrepreneurs and business owners is yours at the Women Talk Biz Confab, happening April 25th from 8 to 4 at the Grayton Casino Ballroom in Rohnert Park. This is where you'll find your tribe of like-minded women, as well as inspiration, practical info, networking, and funding opportunities. Sponsored by women-owned businesses such as GC Micro, Star Staffing and Professional Program Insurance Brokerage, and Event Lab West, you'll also find resource tables from the Small Business Development Center, the Garden Society, Working Solutions, North Bay Biz Magazine, and others dedicated to your business success. Plus, every woman will receive the Business Owner Toolkit crafted by our presenting sponsor, Exchange Bank. If you want more for yourself and your business, join us on April 25th. For info and tickets, visit womentalkbiz.net. And on Tuesdays at noon, listen to Women Talk Biz on KSRO with Vicki DeArmond.
Women Talk Biz with Vicki DeArmond and Michelle Marquess on KSRO.
Welcome back to Women Talk Biz. I am Michelle Marquess, and Vicki DeArmond, of course, is your host. And introduce our next guest.
Well, we have Carolyn Cole Schweitzer here. I'm delighted to have her. She is with Exchange Bank. She's the corporate communications person there and social media specialist. Mm. You know, she's the first ever social media specialist they've hired, and she's developed their whole program.
That's amazing.
I know, because I see her regularly on LinkedIn. I see her, you know, posting all the time these great, you know, social media posts. Uh-huh. So she's an expert in social media, and you have a lot to share. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
I'm really glad you could come today, Carolyn.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a whole social media best practices. I've sat through a lot of sessions on this, but I think that what I'd love to hear from you are what do you think are the most important metrics that we use for social media? How do you, you know, judge whether your social media is working?
Well, just like people, what we want to do when we are out and networking is to engage and to find leads. That's really what social media is all about. And mm-hmm. you're using these online tools to help you connect to other people in the community and to connect to your target audience. And of course, you also want to have quantifiable metrics to show that what you're doing is actually making a difference.
It's difficult, I think, at least as a small business, to run, you know, a sort of a comprehensive social media program. Do you have recommendations around that in terms of like finding the correct channels, or, you know, how do you make those selections and choices for your business?
Well, the main thing is to find the channel that serves your purpose. Different channels do different things. What you want to do is find the platform that supports your campaign that's going to have the best effect for you, whether it be putting a blog on Facebook, posting a news type or market or industry article on LinkedIn, or just making little updates on Twitter.
Okay. I mean, we find ourselves often wondering, oh, should we do Instagram or should we do Facebook or should we do both? And thinking the demographic is an age demographic there, perhaps
yes.
a gender demographic,
uh-huh.
I'm not
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There definitely are different audiences for different channels. Instagram has, you know, younger people, not always, but can. And Facebook tends to be a little bit older generation. The main thing to remember is that you're trying to connect. You want to know who your target audience is, and you want to connect with them, and you want to help them. You don't want to sell to them. You are branding yourself, and you are creating a connection in the community through these tools.
You do this so well, but I've seen it, and I think I've been guilty of it sometimes. Is, you know, I'm just promoting what I'm promoting. Mm-hmm. So I'm not doing a lot of the interfacing, or I'm not putting up posts that perhaps are just sort of general interest kind of posts. What is there a ratio, or is there some way I know?
Wouldn't say that there's a hard and fast rule. Mm-hmm. And of course, you do want to promote yourself. But the way you promote yourself is by creating a following. And the way people follow you is if you are putting something up either about them or something they're interested in. We at Exchange Bank like to grow our following organically, meaning we're reaching out to people that would actually be our customers. We're not buying leads, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's an alternative. But I would say for most businesses, especially local or small businesses, you want an organic following that's going to find something in what you post that they'd like to share, which will in turn make your following grow.
How are you setting up your content calendars and deciding what content to use?
Well, we follow the marketing calendar. We try and help promote what's going on in marketing. Mm-hmm. We also follow some of the industry guidelines, the American Bankers Association has a calendar of their own that focuses on seniors, on fraud, on veterans. And so we kind of follow those as well. And we try to just stay up to date and follow some of the trends.
Yeah. And what are you doing for images, and how important are images to the various channels?
Images are very important. I would not suggest putting too much up without content that involves images.
Yeah.
We do use some of our in-house imagery. Most of it is attending events, taking photos of people. People like to see themselves. In our case, we're very highly regulated, and we always use a media release. Not everybody has to do that, but people, places, things you're doing, how you're involved in the community, what are you doing philanthropically, all of those kind of things could have an interesting image with them.
Yeah, I'm back to that whole how do you tell if you're successful. So I guess it's by the number of people who are following, sharing, and post and reposting what you're
doing.
Yeah,
and you don't want to be completely stuck on that. You don't want to always be too worried about your numbers. What you really want is genuine, real content. Mm-hmm. And by being honest and by showing, having a passion for what you do, and really sharing honestly what it is you have to offer the community is the way you're going to grow your following.
I think this is interesting. When is it better not to engage on social media? You know, I think a lot of drama happens on social media, but as a business person, you know, what we're doing is we're running our personal lives and then we're running our business lives. So, you know, we have to be careful, right?
You do. And that was kind of two different questions. The first one is about business and personal.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do business-wise, you want to reflect in your personal life as well. People will look at your personal page. So I would advise to be careful about, you know, posting things that are super controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are privacy ways to block people from seeing your personal information. The other is how do you respond to negative media that might come across your channels?
Yes.
Every negative response is an opportunity to make something better, either for you to learn or to have a teachable moment for the customer. Maybe a mistake was made, maybe it wasn't. You always want to acknowledge, and then you want to take it offline as quickly as you can, especially if there's customer information involved. Mm. You really don't want that out on social media. We always, I work very closely with risk and compliance. I work very closely with customer experience, and we have developed guidelines for how to respond and taking it offline if we can.
That's such great advice. I've seen some really sort of horrific back and forth that should have never happened there.
right.
Like, can I call you and move this off of this? Yeah. So thank you so much. You know, what I'm excited about is I know you have so much more to offer than we can get into our short segment here today, but I know that your information is going to be in the Exchange Bank business toolkit that everybody's going to get at the Women Talk Biz annual confab. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to seeing that and seeing what you have to say there. And I'm excited about your roundtable. So thank you so much, Carolyn, for
coming in. You're
welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was furiously writing down notes as Carolyn's talking. I'm like, do this. So this is great news.
Me too.
It's very good stuff. Carolyn Cole Schweitzer from Exchange Bank, part of the Women Talk Biz confab. You can find out more at womentalkbiz.net.
You're a genius at what you do, and you do it well. But no woman can know it all. The wisdom of other successful entrepreneurs and business owners is yours at the Women Talk Biz Confab, happening April 25th from 8 to 4 at the Grayton Casino Ballroom in Rohnert Park. This is where you'll find your tribe of like-minded women, as well as inspiration, practical info, networking, and funding opportunities. Sponsored by women-owned businesses such as GC Micro, Star Staffing and Professional Program Insurance Brokerage, and Event Lab West, you'll also find resource tables from the Small Business Development Center, the Garden Society, Working Solutions, North Bay Biz Magazine, and others dedicated to your business success. Plus, every woman will receive the Business Owner Toolkit crafted by our presenting sponsor, Exchange Bank. If you want more for yourself and your business, join us on April 25th. For info and tickets, visit womentalkbiz.net. And on Tuesdays at noon, listen to Women Talk Biz on KSRO with Vicki DeArmond.
Women Talk Biz with Vicki DeArmond and Michelle Marquess on KSRO.
And welcome back to Women Talk Biz. I'm Michelle Marquis. And our next guest, I know, Vicki, you've been looking forward to talking with.
I have. I want to introduce Jennifer Goldsmith. She runs Savvy Boss Lady, which is a very cool name for a business.
It is a great name for a business.
And she's an entrepreneur practicing in the Greater Bay Area. She's worked as an attorney, so she brings a big breadth of experience and knows how to negotiate. Her topic, her roundtable topic at the Confab is negotiate like a lady.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, how does that work for feminists? Jennifer, are you there?
I am.
Yeah. I want you to explain the title of the roundtable first, because the way you explained it, I was like, oh yeah, that's me.
Yeah. So I've actually been asked this question a lot, because so many of us grew up with people sort of using lady as a derogatory term, right? It was shut up, be quiet, sit there, be prim and proper, only speak when spoken to, all of that. And it got this connotation. But if we look back historically, it comes from the terms when we were lords and ladies were actually women of power. They were in charge of all of the people in their region. They were responsible for making decisions for the people that were under them. They were responsible for bringing concerns and things to the greater population of aristocrats and politicians and so forth for the day. And so really, if what I'm encouraging women to do is to reclaim this title of lady and all of the power and the essences that go along with that.
I like that very much. Thank you. You know, one of the things that we were talking about was the unique styles that women have in negotiating. And I'm sort of fascinated that we're still talking about those differences between male and female negotiation styles. And maybe you can enlighten us how that looks.
Yeah, so there are actually 5 distinct negotiation styles, and most people don't quite, they don't recognize that there are quite so many. We all think of one of the styles, the competitive negotiator. I like to call it the used car salesman style. It's the one that everyone sort of has in their head. It's the me. I don't really care what you get out of this. I just want what I get out of this sort of a person. And then you've got your collaborative style, which is sort of the complete opposite, which is where everybody lays their cards out on the table and they say, hey, what can we do with all of this so that everybody gains? That's what most people are thinking of with their win-win situations.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have accommodating negotiators. I tend to call them our mama bears. They're the ones who give without taking anything in return. You have avoiding negotiators. Those are the ones that just don't want to be there under any circumstances whatsoever. And then you have your compromising negotiators. And those, we all know what that looks like. It's the, hey, can we just meet in the middle? And actually, for me, compromising negotiators are my least favorite. And I know that that sort of throws people for a loop sometimes. Because most people think, you know, competitive negotiators would be the worst. But compromising negotiators, the problem there is nobody ever wins.
Yes.
Everybody has to give something up in order to come to a compromise. I much prefer collaboration, where you do trade-offs and you do other things in order so that everybody can win.
And so this comes naturally to women, or is that something? Is that a strength that we have, this collaboration model?
Yeah, so we tend to find that women in general tend to fall into the either accommodating, like I said, our mama bears, or into this collaboration style. And I don't know if that's just we tend to talk and to be more open, if it's because women tend to have more communal traits are, again, communal, coming from community, meaning that we want to engage with others and we value relationships very highly. That tends to be where we see most women, is either in collaboration or in accommodation, because those both have a high sense of caring about what happens with the other person on the other side of the table.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you go into a negotiation, sometimes you can be a little bit, firm on the, I need to get this, I need to get that. So what I'm hearing you say is that you come in with a little bit of more of an open agenda.
It really it really depends. So what I recommend for negotiations is, first of all, you got to know who's on the other side, right? I mean, if I come into a negotiation with somebody who's very competitive, who only cares about what they're getting out of the deal, and they don't care at all what I'm getting out of it, then coming in with a really open-minded and collaborative approach from the get-go isn't necessarily going to work. But there are ways and there are tricks in order to get that competitive person to drop their guard a little bit and to come around to a collaboration, and then you can be more open. So the first step in a negotiation is always figuring out who's on the other side.
Okay, can you tell me one of those tricks? Not that I have a negotiation coming up or anything.
Everyone always wants to know the trick.
Tell me that trick.
So there are two tricks that you can start with. I'll give you two for the price of one here. One is, don't dive directly into the meat of the negotiation. You want to have a conversation with that person first. You want to get them to open up a little bit, make some connections between the two of you, whether that's through mirroring or if that's through shared experiences or whatever it might be. Because the more that they care about you as a person, then obviously the more they'll care about the relationship, which will help with the negotiation. So that's tip number one.
Okay.
Tip number two, for competitive negotiators, is whenever you go into a negotiation, you should have a separate set of needs versus wants. Your needs are the things you absolutely have to have. The wants are the things that would be nice to have, right? So it's the difference between a plain old cupcake and your cupcake with icing.
I get it.
So if you can trade one of your wants, something that would be nice but isn't necessary, for one of their needs, then it gives them a win and it makes them feel good about the negotiation, which then allows them to move forward with a little bit more open mindset.
And I'm sure,
and you're not trading anything that you wouldn't have given up anyway.
Right. Well, listen, I know you have a lot more of those tricks, and you'll reveal them at the Women Talk Biz Confab. Thank you so much, Jennifer. That's Jennifer Goldsmith of Savvy Boss Lady.
So much more to learn. Sign up today at womentalkbiz.net. The big event is coming up on the 25th of April, 8 to 4 p.m. at the Grayton Casino Ballroom. This is Women Talk Biz on KSRO.